Please turn in God's Word to the book of Ruth. We began a brief study in this book last Lord's Day. We will not conclude it today as I had intended. We will conclude it the Sabbath that I return from the States, God willing. This morning we read the second chapter of the book of Ruth. This is God's word that is read for our instruction, our edification, encouragement, and challenge, whatever God would have us for this morning. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of the grain, after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my child," or "go, my daughter," rather. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean. And do not rebuke her."
So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young woman of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. God bless this reading in our hearing this morning. Elimelech, the father of the household, had taken his wife Naomi and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, to another territory, a foreign region, not geographically far away, but spiritually distanced from the household of God. He'd gone because there was a famine in the land, a famine that had been brought on by the sin of the people, their idolatry, their adultery, their apostasy, their immorality, their rebellion against God was an everyday and daily occurrence. He had died relatively soon after arriving in Moab. The two young men married two young Moabite women, Orpha and Ruth. Then they died, leaving the three widows, Naomi, the mother-in-law, and the two young women. A devastating event. Devastating for them physically. It meant that they were without the companions that they had set their love upon. Emotionally distressing. Vulnerable in every way. They didn't have anyone to provide for them. And on top of that, the family name was now going to be lost. And in the culture of the day, the family name was everything, because being part of the clan that Elimelech had been part of and owning the land that he loaned in Israel was all that they had for their heritage and posterity. And with the end of the two men and the father, this was gone. It was gone. The name was gone. The land was gone. Prospects were gone. Naomi kept her ear to the ground, and when she heard that the Lord's blessing had returned to Judah, she took a decision to return home. The two young women set off on the journey with her. But she is adamant, and she counsels them that they should go back to their mother's home, because there they will be able to go back into the family life, and the possibility of them finding another husband in their homes is a real one. Re-establish the relationship with their mother, re-establish their relationship with their family, and you never know, a young Moabite man might come along, a young woman, and they would be married and settle and have family and be provided for. Orpha, after an initial sense of, I'll go with you, then agrees to go. She does show her affection. She loves her mother-in-law. There are tears and there is an embrace. But Ruth will not be deterred. She is determined to pursue this course to Bethlehem with Naomi. The reason for that was because she had come to fall in love with the God of the people of Judah. She had seen in Naomi's life something that reflected this love. And so now she says to Naomi, I am going to go with you. I will be with you. Do not urge me to leave. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So she's committed to go, not just for the short term to see out the rest of Naomi's life. May not have been short term, may have been a number of years. But she's prepared to face the potential loneliness after the death of Naomi. She's prepared to go into this other territory where she'll be regarded as a foreigner, where there'll be no prospect of her being married. There'll be no opportunity for her, and life will be extremely difficult. But she has resolved in her heart, because she has seen in the life of Naomi, amidst all the difficulties that Naomi has, she has seen in Naomi's life something that attracts her. There's something about this woman's relationship with her God that even though she has lost her husband and her two sons, yet she will go back to that covenant-keeping God, and she will go back and dwell in the land that he has promised, and she will go back and dwell with his people. And even in the face of all this difficulty, in the face of all this trial, in the face of all this heartache, she still speaks well and commends God. And Naomi communicates to Ruth the reality of her love. Isn't that a challenge for you and I? In the realities and difficulties of our lives, what do we communicate to other people about God? What impression do they get from us of God? Do they get a sense from us that we love God? Does our family look at us and say, you know, the most important thing in my father's life is God. The most important thing that my mother delights in is God. Do they hear from us conversation and communication that communicates to them the intensity and passion of a real relationship with God? Or are they left with the impression, well, my father goes to church on a Sunday, my mother goes with him, and that's really all it's about? Or do they get a sense of the fact that we are in love with God, that we love him deeply and we love him genuinely, even through the trials? Such was Naomi's love. So they begin on this road back to redemption. They want to look at this road to redemption this morning. And they want to see first that it's marked by God-given opportunity. The road to redemption is marked by God-given opportunity. Elimelech, given that he was an Epaphrodite, would have been of the aristocracy in Judah. He would have gone from Bethlehem to Moab, probably with a substantial amount of liquid assets that he would have invested or sought to build a business or a new life for himself, his wife, and his family in the land of Moab. But now they're returning. Not Elimelech, he has died. He is living now dead. Rather, he is dead in the soil of Moab, as are his two sons. And his wife returns to Judah, and she is penniless. They have nothing. There's nothing that she has. There's nothing that she can offer to this young woman, her daughter-in-law, who is traveling with her. The only thing that they have is the law of God. And that law makes provision for widows. In Leviticus chapter 19, we read, "You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle breed with a different cattle. You shall not let your seed, your fields, and so two kinds of seed. Nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two types of material." In verse 10, must be verse 29, my mistake, it speaks of the fact that there is to be provision made for those who are widows. There is to be care made for those who are widows and those who are in need. And this care and this love is to be manifest that whenever the reapers are in the field, they are not to take everything out of the field. They are to leave a portion around the outside of the field where those who are in need can go in and gather. It's a law that's repeated. I've got obviously the reference wrong in Leviticus. But it's a law that's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19. "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterwards. It shall be for the fatherless, the sojourner, and the widow. You will remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this." There was to be this provision. Close that window for us. There's to be this provision for the needy. In the law of God, there was to be this provision. And Naomi returning to Judah knew that this was the case. The road to redemption is marked by God-given opportunity. She knew as she went back that there were fields that were being harvested in Judah, and that those fields would have in them that which she could gain from in order to sustain her life. She knew there were vineyards where there would be grapes left, olive groves where there would be olives. Not a lot, but she knew there would be something. God had provided for those who were in need. This land is a land which is marked by God-given opportunity. There are opportunities to hear the word of God preached in this land. Sadly, not as many as there was in the past, but there are still opportunities to hear the word of God preached. There are parts of the world where there isn't that opportunity, where you can travel for miles and miles and tens of miles and hundreds of miles, and there is no preaching of the word of God. We live in a land that by the providence of God is marked by opportunity. There is a way back to God. And God has laid that way clearly in his word. And that word is presented in our land for those who want to hear it. But the road to redemption requires good choices to be made. We read that Ruth comes to her mother-in-law and she speaks to her. And she asks her a question. It's a question which will see Ruth go out into the fields. She says to her mother-in-law in the second verse, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." She's a foreigner, but she's been acquainted with the law of God. She has married into a wealthy family which now has nothing. But she's not going to sit back and wait till it comes to her. She takes the initiative. She does so in a gentle and gracious and humble way, but she is determined. She sees that there is need in the home. She recognizes the age of her mother-in-law probably precludes her from engaging in this gleaning. And so Ruth, when she hears about this opportunity provided by the law of God, adhered to by those who live in the land and respect the law of God, Ruth doesn't sit back and say, the opportunity is there, but I am a foreigner. I have married into a wealthy family. I shouldn't have to do this. Will I be well received or will I not be received? And who am I to go out and do this? Her heart's desire is to take the opportunity that's brought to her and to go there. And we know that as she finds permission from Naomi and goes out, we read that she is polite in her request, verse 7. She is focused in her application, and that her work is well recognized. When Boaz, who we meet later, comes and speaks to the man responsible for the reapers, and Boaz inquires as to who this young woman working in his field is, the reaper responds that this young woman has come and very kindly and gently and in a humble way asked if she might have the liberty of working among the sheaves after the reapers. And we note that she begins her work early in the morning and she doesn't take rest but a short time. She is determined. She's focused. She labors. She seeks out the opportunity. She doesn't sit at home. She goes after it. She works hard. She works all day. And if you want to get on to the road to redemption, then you must seek out the things of God. You must pursue after God with your heart, with your soul, and your mind. It's all right to come and hear the word of God preached. But unless you pursue it with your heart, unless you seek after it with your mind, unless you engage with it emotionally yourself, then what value is it to you? There could have been fields all around Bethlehem. And Naomi and Ruth could have sat at home, aware of the law and the opportunity that afforded them, but not taking the opportunity to avail of that. And I would say to you this morning, if you do not believe in Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you don't embrace him as your Savior, don't just look at the opportunity. Don't just gaze at the opportunity. Don't just hear the opportunity. Pursue after the opportunity. Be like Ruth. Be humble. Accept that you need to hear it. Receive it for what it is, the Word of God. Believer in Jesus Christ, are you seeking after God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? The opportunities that are afforded to you are many. The Word of God is opened up. You can read the Word of God on your own. You're encouraged to read the Word of God on your own. There's an opportunity for you to meet during the week, to study with other believers in Jesus Christ, to hear what God would have you to understand. But are you seeking them out? Are you with humility accepting the need of these opportunities that God has prepared for you in advance to avail of? And if not, why not? Why not? What is there in your heart this morning that's preventing you from accepting that which is simple and straightforward? That which is easy for you. That which is there for you. That which is being provided for you. What is there in your heart that would prevent you from availing of all those opportunities? Do you know, it's something I can't understand. I've never understood it, even as a young man, even as a boy. talking with my mother at home when I was young. I can remember sitting, I was about 13 or 14 years of age, and we're sitting in our home in McCoskin, and I had my back to the door in the living room, and I was saying to my mother, why is it that people who say they love God and who say that Jesus Christ died on the cross to redeem them from a horrific eternity, why is it that they don't want to pursue after God? What is it? Why do they not want to join in the things of God with the people of God? I couldn't understand it. And she sat there and she said, son, I don't know the answer to that question. And you know what? After 20 years of ministry almost, I still don't know the answer to that question. I don't know why it is that given all the opportunities that people have to avail of the things of the gospel, to avail of the things of God, to delight in the ways of God, that there are still within the hearts of so many in our land this intransigence, this lack of desire, this lack of contentment in the things of God. To be at peace with God, to know God and to love God, and be able, just as the psalmist says in 131, to rest in God. Thirdly, the road to redemption is one which is marked with God-given encounters and encouragements. Here is Boaz. We read in verse 1 that he's a relative. In verse 3, we read that he's of the clan of Elimelech. He's evidently a godly man because he speaks to his employees, verse 4, with a greeting that is full with blessing. The Lord be with you. And he receives a reciprocal blessing back. And I don't think this is merely just the standard greeting of the day. There is in this man, Boaz, a genuineness of heart that I'm sure when he spoke to his employees and said to them, the Lord be with you, the covenant-keeping God, that they knew that he meant that. It wasn't just like the president of the United States, and no offense to our brethren from the United States who are with us visiting or who are members of the congregation who stands up and says, God bless America. What does that mean? What does it mean? He's evidently a man who has shown by the leadership he has given that nation that he doesn't believe in God and he doesn't believe in the desire that God will bless America. You just have to look at his track record. He's not unique in that fact. But here is a man when he says, the Lord bless you. He doesn't mean the Lord bless you and I will rip up the laws of God and I will walk over the laws of God. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep over you. And you see, here is a manifestation of the Lord's blessing, providential blessing upon this woman and her daughter-in-law. There is this providential event that takes place. Ruth comes to Boaz's field. We read, as it happened. That's just sort of like as if it just happened. Well, it just didn't happen. This is a preordained encounter that Ruth is going to have with Boaz. And so when she sets out in that morning, it's not that she just happens to come to the part of the field that belongs to Boaz, who is the clan of Elimelech. She comes by divine appointment to this part of this field, of all the fields that surround Bethlehem, and this field belongs to this man, Boaz. And this divine event, divinely ordained event of her traveling down the road to this field is met with another divinely ordained event of Boaz leaving Bethlehem and arriving at this field at the same time and the same day that Ruth is working here. And when Boaz arrives here, he then invites one of his workmen to tell him who this young woman is. He sees her, he recognizes it's not one of his normal group of workers. That shows you how much this man knew about his fields. He didn't just know the crops that was growing in the fields. He knew the reapers who were in the fields. He didn't just know the reapers who were in the fields. He knew those who were gleaning behind the reapers in the fields. That shows you the measure of the man's heart and love for God and people. And so he says to these men, this young man, who is she? And he tells her, she's the young Moabite woman. She's the one who has come, and she has been here, and she's worked all day without a rest, just taking a brief rest. And then Boaz speaks to her. And look at the encouragement that he brings to her. He says to her, stay here. Harvest time was a very difficult time, very vulnerable time, a time of real danger for these women. When the harvest season comes, the sun's shining, people take liberties. Things happen in a harvest field that wouldn't happen at other times of the year. People are working hard. The sweat's flowing. The banter's good. The exchanges between male and female may be a little bit closer to the age than would normally as you pass down the street. Stay here for your own safety and work with my girls. Don't leave this field. Stay here. Stay with them. And then there's not only the seclusion that you will have through the safety with these girls, there's also the command that goes out to his young men to stay away from her. He says to them, he says to the young woman, have I not charged the young men not to touch you? He'd gone to his young men, he said, don't you touch that girl. Whatever carry on you get up to in this field, she's not part of it. And then he tells her to stay in the field. He says to her, you can drink from the vessel that is for my young men. Now that would otherwise have necessitated her to leave the field and go off to find a well that could have been some distance away, to bring some water back and to drink it. Here he's saying to her, you can go and drink of the water that has come from the well that the young men have brought for themselves. Stay safe with the girls. Stay away from her, young men. Stay in the field and work all day long. And we need a drink. You can get that drink and refreshment. You see, the providential encounter that brings the encouragement. Note how Ruth responds. Verse 10. She says, why have I found favor in your eyes? I'm a foreigner. And then after Boaz prays for her and the blessing for her, we read in verse 13 that she expresses this comfort and this kindness that she has received from Boaz. This is something that is real to her. She's aware of the loneliness that lay ahead of her. She's aware of the difficulties as a young widow that would have been par for her life from that day on. Physical vulnerability, emotional vulnerability. She was aware of her responsibility to Naomi that she felt a deep sense of because of Naomi's love for her. And as she looked out in her life, all she could see for the years to come was difficulty and trial and heartache and despair and loneliness. She couldn't sense or see at any time in her life where this would change, because as a foreigner, she had no prospect of having a son. She had no prospect of having a son because she had no prospect of being married. Because she was not of the household of God, she was of the household of Moab. And so she was ostracized from the household of God. She was an alien from the commonwealth of God's people. And all that she could see for the rest of her days was going out and gleaning and gleaning and gleaning. Pick a little up, Go to the well, gather the water, come back, drink it. Go out and work again every day during the harvest season, trying to gather enough that would then see them through the winter months. Maybe she would try and get herself another job that would provide for herself and Naomi. There was no prospect here of her having an easy life. And suddenly we find that because of God's mercy to her, she's in the field of this man, this godly man, who manifests not simply love to the others of his tribe, not just simply to love to his people, but he shows love to her. He loves her. He protects her. He guards her. He provides for her. He brings her to the table at mealtime and he says, "You eat with us." She eats till she's satisfied and she has more than she has need of. More than she has need of. She has so much she can take some home with her. And then he encourages her by saying to the men, and this is astonishing, he says to them, as she walks along, what I want you to do is let her glean in among the sheaves. Unheard of. Unheard of. And then what I want you to do is actually pull some out of the sheaves so that she can glean that. He's giving her and giving her and giving her. He's showing his love for her and his care for her because of what he has heard of her love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she reaps a harvest that is amazing. 22 gallons of seed, a nephith. I don't know how she carried it home. No, sorry, 5 gallons, 22 liters. 5 gallons. A 5-gallon drum of seed. Is it any wonder that Naomi said to her, "Where on earth have you been gleaning today?" I mean, you were talking about gleaning maybe a 2-pound bag of seed. That's what you would have. That's what you would get from gathering around the ages. But she comes home with 5 gallons of seed, an ephah. Imagine her walking down the street carrying it. It's astonishing. And yet you see, if you lay hold of the opportunities, if you seek them with all your heart, God will bring divine events to pass in your life, people into your life, encouragements that are beyond your expectations. You're sitting this morning as an unbeliever and you're thinking, how will I manage? How will I cope? How can I make up for if I come and stop doing that and that? My friend, you'll not have to give up anything. You will just receive and receive and receive. You will receive life. You will receive blessings. You will receive friends. You will receive love. And you will receive a life that you could never have dreamed of. And believer in Christ, who's walking in the wrong direction, have you not tasted of the love of God in the past? Have you not known that love? Have you not known that encouragement? Yes, there have been difficulties. There have been trials. There have been hurts. Real disappointments. But you see, this road to redemption is not about the reestablishing of a relationship with people per se. This road to redemption is taking the opportunities that God hands out. This road to redemption involves you seeking after God and the promises of God in the Word of God. This road to redemption involves you humbling yourself and coming back to God and being with God. And you're sitting this morning and you're saying, well, I don't know if I want to be hurt again. I don't know if I can be disappointed again. I don't know if I can go through it again. What is there for you but blessing? But blessing. Untold blessing. You have no idea how the Lord could bless. You have no comprehension of what He had blessed. Ruth left that morning. She went out with the words of Naomi ringing in her ear. It's probably, I'll see you this evening, dear. You know, I hope you get on well. I hope that they're kind to you. And Naomi's probably praying, I hope that no young man molests her. I hope she's not taken advantage of. I hope that they don't come down on her because she's a foreigner, a Moabite. And there she goes, and she goes into this field. She doesn't know who Boaz is. She hasn't read the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth hasn't been written yet. It's been written through her life. And there she is, and she goes to this man's field, and she works all day, and she labors, and Boaz comes into the field, sees her. She sees him. She doesn't know who he is. She doesn't know what's going to unfold. She has no idea of the future. And she works away, and she comes to her and says, do you stay in this field? Stay with the girls. She appreciates that. He says, stay. I've told my young men to stay away from them. She appreciates that. She says, stay in the field. She appreciates the fact that her thirst will be quenched without having to go for miles to get water. And then at mealtime, he invites her over, and he gives her this meal, this corn. She's so full, she can't eat anymore. She puts it into a bag. She'll carry that home to Naomi. She thinks, that's good. I'll gather the grain, the wee bit of grain I'll have, and I'll take this food home to Naomi. And Naomi and I will have another meal this evening. Isn't that great? She goes back to her work again, and what does she suddenly find? She finds these guys are laying sheaves all over the place. They're pulling out stalks here and there. And she goes over and she begins to grind it. And she begins to think, where did all this come from? Where did it all come from? The Lord is giving it to her through Boaz because He loves her. And you're saying to me this morning, believer in Jesus Christ, I don't want to be disappointed. How can you be disappointed with a God who lavishes His love upon you? She goes home to Naomi, and Naomi's eyes are out in stalks. She can't believe what she's seeing. Why will you not return to Him? Take every opportunity, seek Him with all your heart, and put Him to the test. And say, God, prove to me the reality of that love. Lay hold of Him. Because this road to redemption is one of blessing. Untold blessing. Untold blessing. Why would you hang back? Well, that's another failure this week. It's 2 weeks in a row now where I haven't preached my full sermon. I'll have to give you the second half this evening. We might get this series done by Christmas time. Well, let's pray together.